Christ died for us, and what was his death but a model for our lives to bring us to eternal life? Let us examine this death. It was rooted in obedience, based on love, based on humility, and this obedience is the foundation of his exaltation, as the Holy Ghost through St. Paul makes clear to us. And so we can stand in awe, and as we should, but that is not enough. We need nourishment to nourish our sentiments of gratitude as we're able, which is far less than what we owe, of course. But that is not enough. After all, what good is it that we stand in awe and gratitude if we, yes, you and I, all of us, what good is it if we do not imitate? In other words, if we do not truly love as we ought, as we're able, as we're called. Again, living that gratitude, not having it be some sentiment that just has no fruit. So seeing the death of our Lord and realizing it was not for but a moment, nor for a few hours only, but it was a lifetime. It must needs bear fruit in us. And that fruit, what is it? What does it look like? Beyond all doubt, it is the daily cross, as St. Paul talks about, I die daily. That is what we have to imitate. A living, practical, I mean it, kind of gratitude, which is the whole point, the purpose and design of his death. The redemption through inspiration to love, outside of self. For if we do not love him, we cannot participate in that redemption. And if we love creatures more than him, we do not really love him, we live a lie. A lie we may only discover too late. Tell me, an athlete, a weightlifter, do they start at the peak of their career, at the peak of their performance? Can they break the world record the first day in training or the first year? So too here. Heavier crosses lie for all of us, at least in our personal lives, perhaps otherwise. Now tell me, if it's important for an Olympic athlete who to compete at that level, to even hope to win, to train, is it important for us? Does it not make sense that we can imagine, it does not make sense that we can imagine that we are born saints, and that we're going to bear up under trials without first having carried lesser crosses? Can we pretend we are first born of God's creatures, that the saints were born saints? Or rather, do we understand reality? It is by suffering and death we enter into the glory as Christ this coming Holy Week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But the carnal man cannot grasp the things of the Spirit. Some of us, most of us perhaps, are too carnal. And we want to know that if we are. Lest we think we're not, and we do nothing to correct. Let us see in the death of Jesus a great hope to break that love of self and have a true love that liberates us. Then we too will by grace achieve the love of the saints, which was not inborn for most, but acquired by grace, a great effort and study and failure, and again trying. Yes, that love which finally bore fruit of joy in suffering, something God gives us, but as a punishment, as strict justice, he denied his very own son. So he gives us the comfort that sustains us in our sufferings, but not our Lord on the cross, his very own son. Yes, the death of Christ was utter desolation without consolation. And how do we know that? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know it was for sin, our sins. But God asked this of none of us, for as we love him in reparation, he loves us, and so shares with us his cross and his sufferings to please. And so please understand that God's love for us is infinite, but the amount and degree he is allowed to make that love fruitful is determined by us, by the degree of our love for him. In this most holy and precious of all deaths, the most valuable, let us see hope. A total contradiction to nature. In nature, all is done to avoid suffering and death. But yet Christ calls us to a life of grace, a life above and beyond nature, and so a life by design of his infinite love and wisdom that is open only to those who with him also they will embrace their suffering. We cannot avoid suffering. Now here, let us all pause for a reality check, a necessary clarification. Is the goal here that we be sadistic? No, indeed. There is a great difference between the human idea of joy and suffering and the truth of God in the matter. The human idea is devoid of God and his truth, guidance, and strength. And so it is an end in itself. But God's way is rooted in and aims at detachment from the senses and the sensual. And so is a means to higher end. And what is that? Detachment with a purpose not of achieving some fame or in our own mind or those of others, not in a proud way, but in a way that prepares us all for the glory that we were made for. You see, if we are detached from creatures, our bodily senses, we are made ready for the higher, the spiritual. Attachment to Christ is altogether necessary to achieve our destiny, our eternal salvation. So how do we achieve this? Is it some great mystery? Not at all. Simply let God, who loves us so much, work in our lives. That's it. After all, St. Alphonsus and other saints tell us it is far more profitable for us to accept daily crosses than to carry those of our own choice. Just yesterday, I was fueling fire at the rectory, and there was a piece of wood a bit decayed, and so it would not burn well. So I had to blow on it and try to create a draft to get it to burn, open the door a little bit to the stove. And the harder I blew, the more the embers glowed, and finally it burst into flames. And it needed that draft for a little bit, but then the door could be closed, and it would burn properly after a certain point. But without that wind, it would die out. By original and actual sin, we too are decayed. But God loves us, decayed as we are, but not our decay. And so to purify us and make us acceptable in his all-holy sight, he too blows on the fire of our nature to spark love for him, a special love that can be driven only by the winds of both trial and temptation. But if we are not willing, this means he seeks to unite us to him, becomes a means of our separation from him by our own choice. But if we are willing, oh, what a great transformation in all of us. For by this means, and this means alone, can we be united to him in the fire of his love. So when it is cold out, when someone or something irritates us, let us pray to our Mother of Sorrows to imitate the Fatima children, the guidance the local priest gave them every day in our lives. Look for opportunities to suffer for the love of God. And then it's not something that we want to avoid in time with God's grace. It's something we see as a tool that we use to help ourselves and others detach from creatures, unite to Christ to help others come to heaven. our mother of sorrows, ask her to help us that we see beyond and above to the love of God as she. God is calling us to share in but the sliver of his cross. Yes, indeed, that cross he has made and allowed her to custom fit to each of us. She, the mother of mercy, the mother of love, our only hope. So then, we will allow her to help us and reach our eternal triumph, our final triumph, a living triumph by God's design, his infinite love for each and every one of us. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.